I didn't preach on Maundy Thursday last year. I was thinking back to my last Maundy Thursday sermon. It was while we were flattening the curve for 2 weeks. And I was in this room, not on Holy Thursday, but on the Wednesday night before, alone in the dark with a video camera set up on a tripod. And the altar was bare, nothing to eat or to drink. Just me and a couple of candles and a camera, and I preached in that dark place. I look back on some of the words that I shared that evening. Here's how I closed that sermon in 2020. There is no such thing as a virtual church. Where there is the voice of our good shepherd, there is the church, created and nourished by the Word. The Word of God is not an idea, but is our most present Lord Jesus. He will speak to his people in these troubled times, and when his church once more gathers physically, there he will bestow himself physically, sacramentally. Having loved his own who are in the world, he will love us to the end. Last year, we had about 35 people in attendance on Maundy Thursday. This evening, we have at least 35 just from the families of our First Communion young people. We've come a long way, but we still feel in the midst of a lot of challenges, don't we? One of the things we were saying is when we get back together physically, we will be worshiping no longer virtually at a distance. But as I was thinking about virtual worship or virtual church, as I was thinking about the gift it's been to be back face-to-face with so many of us, I think about how often we slip into coming to church as though church here in this room was also virtual reality. That even though we're gathered together and we can see each other, we nevertheless think of so much of what we do in this room as virtual. So we break out that old book full of stories of God's action among Israel centuries ago. We remember the stories of the night in which Jesus was betrayed and he took the bread and the wine among his disciples and promised his own presence in the meal. We might also think about our own reminiscences as Bethesda or in our own churches, Easters and Good Fridays and Maundy Thursdays past. And then we gather at this table to receive the bread and the wine, to receive the Lord's body and blood. And sometimes even that can slip into feeling virtual. Like we don't see Jesus, we don't touch Jesus. It doesn't taste like I think Jesus would taste. So is this virtual? Are we virtually with God? These 4 days from tonight through Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter. These 4 days are a guardrail against ever believing worship is virtual. It's not possible. When we gather in this place, yes, there are stories of old. Yes, we have our own memories of being in this sanctuary over the years or in other places. Yes, we remember Christ died for us long ago. But there's nothing virtual about that at all. Where the Word is, there Jesus is, incarnate and among us, as he's promised. Our first reading was from the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And just a few sentences before what Pastor Steve read, Paul asks a simple question. He says, "This cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? This bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ?" Paul, just years after the resurrection of Jesus, had to remind a group of Christians, say, this bread and wine, we're not just virtually remembering Jesus when he used to be around, but he is with us. We're participating in Christ together as he has promised to be with us. Now, it's easy to slip into this virtual talk because Jesus gets a little too close for comfort sometimes. He invades our space. He doesn't leave any room. He doesn't remain as an idea in our head or a feeling in our heart, but he comes to us in a chewable, digestible form. And this is a bit too close for comfort. It started to get uncomfortable in that upper room when he took off his outer garment and put on the towel of a servant and got to the feet of his disciples and began to wash the dirt and the dust of the day from their feet. He, their Lord and teacher, serving them. It got really uncomfortable, and Peter, quick to speak out, he says, "Lord, not me. I will never shame you into serving me in this way." And Jesus says, "This is what it means to share with me. I make you clean." And Peter then goes all the way the other direction, wash everything. And Jesus says, "Feet's enough. Feet is just fine. Just a little bit of water combined with God's promise makes us clean." There's nothing virtual about this, as uncomfortable as Peter was. And then he promises himself in this meal. He holds up bread and wine, which, as our young people and their families tonight just learned, there were 4 cups of wine over the evening of the Passover meal. And there was unleavened matzah bread, that flat, dry bread, because there was no time to wait for the yeast to rise and the bread to fluff up. And Jesus gives this meal, this annual holiday meal, and he says, "This is me. What I'm going to do tomorrow on the cross, this is my gift for you. This is my life for you. This is my body and my blood given for you." Very close for comfort. It occurred to me as I was studying this week that for years, the New Testament church, the early church, didn't have the New Testament written down. They didn't have a Bible other than the Old Testament from centuries before. The weekly meal, when they gathered in homes around a table, shared the bread and the wine, shared in teaching and fellowship and prayer, that was enough to sustain the first church and the first churches for years. The Lord's Supper, the agape feast, the love feast as they called it, that was enough to gather God's people and hold them together for years. And eventually, it had to be written down. Close to comfort, but Jesus goes even more uncomfortable for some of us. We call tonight Maundy Thursday, not because it's confusing and sounds like Monday, but it comes from the Latin word for commandment, mandate. Word of the year in 2020. Mandate means commandment. And Jesus now, he gets very close for comfort. Perhaps we would brave to have him wash our feet. Perhaps we would even take in bread and wine and try to trust that Jesus is also somehow in this meal. But now Jesus says, love each other. Not in your definition of love, but love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. A mask mandate is a piece of cake compared to loving others as Jesus has first loved us. A mask mandate has a lot fewer side effects than loving your enemies, than praying for those who mock you, than loving your family who knows you best and at your worst, than loving the stranger or those who can't give anything in return for your love. Far easier to wear a mask, or perhaps to put on love as a mask itself and to be nice, kind, loving people with a mask of love that never touches the heart. And Jesus gave us a new commandment to love each other as he loved us. But it wasn't new for God to command his people to love each other. That was not what was new about the commandment. What was new was Jesus said, love like I have loved you. Love like you will soon see me give my life for you. Love in this way. That's new. John, not in his gospel here, but in one of his letters, he later comes to say, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus gave a love mandate. He mandated love at this Last Supper. He even said, as you love each other, the world will know you belong to me. Jesus seemed to be a bad judge of character in choosing his disciples and in calling me, and perhaps some of you as well, on a more honest moment. We've already confessed our sins and received God's forgiveness at the outset of tonight. Jesus says, I mandate this. You must love each other. This is how the world will know you belong to me. And I don't know about you, but to me, that drives me to my knees. That drives me to confession. Say, Lord, if you're depending on my love to show the world who you are, I'm only doing a halfway job in my own family. But in this is love. Not that we loved God, not that we loved our neighbor as ourselves, but that God loved us first. And Jesus gave himself wholly and completely for us. That he loved us to the point of bearing our sins and dying our death. Love is a grace and a gift from God. Love comes from God and through us. Faith in Christ frees us to love boldly, to love with faces unmasked, metaphorically speaking, right? Hearts unveiled, to love each other with the strength that Christ provides. Another interesting thing about this Last Supper is notice near the end of our gospel from John here, Jesus refers to his disciples, the ones whose feet he has just washed. He refers to them and to us as little children. Little children, I'm only with you for a while longer. It's kind of like when I'm going to leave town on a mission trip with youth, or I'm leaving town for a conference. I'll say to my kids, okay, I'm going to leave in 3 night times, and here's how long I'll be gone, and here's where I'll be, and if I remember, I'll FaceTime you, and then I'll be back, 3 or 4 days later. Jesus, as they are about to proceed from this meal, he looks at his disciples and he sees children. He looks at them and he sees fear on their face, uncertainty, apprehension, guilt. He saw the look on Judas's face before he took the bread and left. And he calls us little children. I think that's beautiful. He also says to his little children, he says, where I am going, you cannot come. Where I am going, you cannot come. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus went where we would not go. He went to the cross for our sakes. He went for his children. There was an old priest, an old Roman Catholic priest, and he had spent a lifetime of hearing confessions. And another priest asked him, what have you learned after thousands of confessions heard and absolutions given? And this priest said, here's what I've learned. There are no grown-ups. A lifetime of confession and forgiveness. What he's learned is there are no grown-ups. I take that to go at least a couple of directions. One, my childishness I've not grown out of. It just needs the right circumstances. And like a child, I can be impulsive. Like a child, I can think about what is mine before what is yours. That's one direction I think the priest intended. I think the other direction the priest intended was to say, inside of all of us is a scared child. Is a scared child who says, I do not know how to face what I'm currently facing. Or I do not know how to get through this challenge that seems to be on my shoulders alone. And I do not know what the next day or year will bring. That like children, we're fragile and in need of an external source of security, of strength, of acceptance, of grace, of encouragement. Something we can take into ourselves and begin to trust upon. What's beautiful about children is they are so concrete. They keep our feet planted on the ground. They don't like metaphors. They keep our feet on the ground. They don't want to talk about love. They know love. You don't have to describe it. They know love when they receive it. Kids know that love, also like church, is never virtual. It's never virtual. Love is physical. It's not philosophical. It's freely given and freely received. into our great need. And it's centered on a death. Jesus Christ's death for our sakes, which means our own death with him, our own death to self. The love of God in Christ for us means nourishment at this table. It means nourishment for a life of loving others like Christ has loved us. It means walking in newness of life. It means facing with trust and boldness that if Christ has given us a love mandate, then he's also promised that his Holy Spirit will push us and empower us and produce his fruit in us, sometimes in spite of us, and sometimes beyond our own awareness. Because the love of Christ is not virtual, it's real. It's here in this place at this time. It's here also in a meal at this table. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So my beloved children of God, my beloved little children of God, Christ is for you. Come to this meal, for Christ has given himself wholly and completely, physically, totally. He's not going to leave himself to the virtual realm of nice religious ideas or to the virtually unreliable feelings of our hearts. He's going to give his very self to us in the chewable charity of God. He's not content to be a small God that always makes sense to our minds, or to be a sweet God that only delivers happiness to our hearts. But he's determined to be a smaller yet and most bittersweet gift, Jesus Christ, who loved his own who were in the world and loved us to the end, giving himself on a cross, who was raised on the third day for our sakes, and who now, today, and always faithfully feeds his flock of little sheep of all ages like a shepherd. Amen.